football games that we haven't seen bring you.
Phoenix City!
Welcome to Phoenix City for another week. We have minimal podcasters here tonight, and it's actually no, it's not. They'd be worrying if it was just me here, but Dave's here as well. So
I am here.
I'm not sure we'd do a podcast if it was just me that was available. I'm not sure anyone would listen to that.
Yeah, no one would listen to you talk for an hour to yourself.
No. Here we are, Dave and I. We're going to talk about football games that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Neither Dave nor I saw any of the Phoenix preseason games, but
I've been off travelling, which has been a bit frustrating. So I've only been able to kind of see what's been written about it on Twitter and on various other messaging apps from people who've been at the games.
Yeah, but even then, I didn't see a whole lot of chat about the Phoenix preseason game. So
no, it seems like the Lower Hutt game in particular was a bit interesting with it kind of billed as being against Lower Hutt, but actually only about four or five Lower Hutt players.
Yeah, it was like
taking the field, which was a bit strange.
Basically, Phoenix versus Phoenix was padded out by Lower Hutt, which was just weird.
I guess in some ways the reality of the situation is they can't play an intra-squad game. We don't have enough players at the moment.
Yeah.
So I would hazard a guess that might be part of the reason there. But at least it's a hit out, and at least it's people getting to watch some football. And it sounds like there was some decent football played.
Yeah, I'm just trying to bring out the lineup. Who started the game, but this will be fairly... I can't even find it. Fuck. Oh, well. It sounds like that even those starting lineups changed a lot in the second half. Players switching teams and...
Well, it sounded very much like it was an A squad versus a B squad.
Yeah.
And the keepers changed teams at halftime, so that I assume...
Philip Kuda could have something to do.
Yeah, could have something to do. And, I think other than that, it sounds like, there was some decent stuff in there. I think a few people... still are a bit worried about how Kopchinski looked. I think he looked better than he did against Bentley Greens, is what I've heard, but still kind of not the standard you expect from him. So at least there's improvement. I mean, we talked about this last time I was on the pod, which must be 2 weeks ago now, about, how he looked not at the standard at all. I think we've seen improvement, so I think we can probably put at least a little bit of that down, hopefully, to just lack of match fitness and that, he is going to get there in time for the season.
Yeah.
There are a few trialists. There was a Korean trialist who hasn't played much in the last 12 months for whatever reason. But I think it sounds like he didn't show a hell of a lot, but wasn't terrible either.
Yeah.
Which 12 months out of football.
Was he a defensive midfielder player? I can't remember where he was playing. I didn't see the games, so I can't help. Cam's notes for us don't say where he was. Anyway, the next 18 won 5-0.
Yep.
Stephen Taylor scored a goal because his Instagram had it. It was well taken. The team switched to half time. I'm just reading Cam's notes now. Jacob Trapp played well, as expected.
Yep.
It's probably good
to see him back.
Yeah, it's good to see him back and playing well again and doing what he was doing previously.
Fingers crossed it's a sign that that he's going to hang around.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic because, we've never really seen him have a bad game.
No.
He's always been good and, we just lost him because of outside circumstances, essentially.
And the first game they left was when the Phoenix lost 5-1 to Melbourne City.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I love that game
so much. Wrong
podcast.
Do you
want to watch that game on Sunday?
Maybe Sunday.
Watch it on Sunday.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. Wrong podcast. The worst game of all time, everybody. Fenton was right back for the B team. So he's back and playing as well, which is good.
Yep.
He is contracted, so he has to be in the squad. But apparently we played a hybrid 3-4-3 in the A team, more of a 3-3-1-3 with wing back. So back five was possible on defense, and the front four were pretty interchangeable. So...
Yeah, I don't think that's that surprising given who that front four is.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. You don't really have an out and out striker.
Krishna's the closest, but he's not that.
Yeah, he's not that. You can play him centrally, but he's not an out and out striker in that sense. He's not a number nine. So I can see why, given the personnel you've got there, you would be telling those guys, hey, I want movement. I want you guys swapping around because it's going to mess with the defenders.
Exactly. Confuse defenders, yeah. That means that their structure that they're set up to kind of play you out. It was always having to change. And with those personnel available to you.
Yeah. And all of those players are capable of running at defenders whatever. So if you've got a bit of confusion in there and guys running at defenders, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. So that's good in many ways.
David Williams got 40 minutes in his first game back from injury, which was good. Cam verbatim has said, didn't overly impress me, but he was on the B team and it was his first hit out, so he gets a pass. So that's good at least. I mean, that's what preseason's for.
Yeah, I think getting 40 minutes in the legs is a good sign that he's well on his way back. I think if you were just testing it out, you might have given him less time than that. But obviously going, you're going to have a half of football, says to me they're building him back up and probably not far away from getting 90.
So Cam said that the best lineup currently would be, he's not really a goalkeeper, but I assume Philip Kuta. Across the back, Stephen Taylor, Dylan Fox, Tom Doyle. So those three. Jacob Tratt, Kopaczynski and Kakache in front of them. I guess with Kakache and Tratt dropping back and Kopaczynski holding midfield. Butters, Mitch Nichols playing basically central attacking midfield, and then seeing Krishna Burns up top, which I think it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, I think at this stage that's absolutely right. I think the obvious change you would look to make there is sign a number 9 and drop Burns out.
Yeah.
I think that's the logical thing that happens there. I assume that search has to be ongoing.
Surely.
We can't have just decided this is the strike force we're going with.
With that one import slot remaining, surely that's where it's going.
Because you've got to look across the rest of that field and go, actually, that's not bad. That's a decent back 3 or 5, however you want to think of it. I don't think there's anyone there that you'd go, they're not up to it. I think that's a very solid starting A-League lineup there. Kopaczynski, you've got to assume is going to come right. We've signed him for a reason, and so that seems fine.
Yeah.
You've got 3 solid attacking players in front of that, and you just need that number 9 to slot in, and then you've got some options across the rest of the park.
Who was our defensive midfield import last year? I just forgot his name completely.
Pratsky.
If he turns out to be Pratsky 2.0, just like the same player, does solid things without being flashy, that's actually okay for us right now.
Yep.
And that it would be great if he was Albie Riera in his first season. It would be great if he could play that role instead of getting the ball and moving it very quickly and doing lots of flashy things. But actually, if he's just solid, it's enough for us at this point, because we haven't used up all those import slots yet. If he was the 5th import and we signed him ahead of somebody else because we thought he'd be good, then it would be different. But he can provide a solid A-League performance and it's going to be fine. So he'll still get scapegoated by people on the forums. But,
absolutely. I mean, that's
he'll get that anyway.
Always do. Yeah. But I think he's going to come good. I think all we're seeing is a bit of a lack of match fitness and probably just adjusting to moving halfway around the world.
We don't know if he's played this exact role before. Yep. We don't know if Redan's asking him to do something different to what he's been doing previously, whether he has the rapport with his teammates yet. There's so many factors. So I'm going to judge him on October the 23rd or whatever it is when we play our first game. So.
Yeah. I think the key thing is at the moment we're still seeing improvement from the South Valley. Yeah. I didn't see it, but that's what I'm told is it's improving. If we were seeing the same performance again and again, that would be worrying.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
So this weekend's game is against Napier City Rovers, 12 p.m. at Central Trust Arena or something. I think it's the Ring of Dirt in Palmerston North.
Okay,
I think
I'll that's take your the word for that.
Yeah, don't quote me on that part, but it's definitely at 12 p.m. on Saturday. I take on Napier, which will be a really good head out. Napier.
Yep, and that's very good. The curtain raiser game, isn't it? There's a main event to follow.
Yeah. I was going to get to that when we get to Central League later on, but when the main event score is currently 6-0 between legs, I don't see it being a curtain raiser. This is the main event, and then there's a curtain faller. I don't know. How would you describe it?
Hang around and finish your beers.
Yeah.
While there's some football.
It's going to be all but 20.
But you never know. It could get more interesting on that second leg.
Yeah.
It'd be fascinating if they managed to make a tie out of it.
We'll get to it soon. But take on Napier. You must surely put out a team pretty similar to the one I've just read out.
I think so.
At this point, you've got to see what your best team can do kind of 3 or 4 weeks after the Bentley incident and give them another chance to play against a very good Central League team.
I think that's exactly right. It's a very good side that Napier have, and I think they'll be more than up for it. They would love to knock over a pretty decent Phoenix side.
Yep.
They'll be more than up for it, and I think it'll be a good hit out.
Yeah, I think there's still seats available on the Phoenix bus up there, the Phoenix North Wellington joint bus. So if you want to go up there and have some beers and not have to drive back, get in touch with the Phoenix. I think the details are on their website, and jump on their bus. Otherwise, it's very drivable.
And otherwise, there's some good football in Wellington that we'll talk about a bit later on.
Yeah, we will.
So if you can't get away for the whole day but just want a couple of hours to watch a game, there's one of those too.
There is one, and we'll get to it soon. We've actually already recorded that segment. We're just going to insert it in later. The magic of editing.
I was trying not to spoil the magic, Patrick.
No, I'm just like, it's a clever thing to do. We can tell the people that's what we do on this podcast. Let's talk the Central League playoff, because that was the other game of football that happened over the weekend. I didn't see this one either, neither did you. No. So
the joys of not being in the country.
Well, I was just busy. So I mean,
are you a real fan?
I could have, sure. No, could I have gone? I can't remember what I was doing. Maybe I could have gone. No, I can't remember. It must have been important. This is great audio. 6-0, North Wellington up over Palmerston North Marist. It's
5-0 halftime, I think.
Was it? Yeah, probably. Yeah. And it sounds like Palmerston North Marist were laughably bad for a team who went unbeaten. Don't quote me on that. I heard it. I'm assuming the person who told me that is correct. Unbeaten in their league to come into a game against, albeit a very good North Wellington team, but in the Central League playoff, for it to be 6-0 after the first leg, that's an indictment on the whole league as a whole up there rather than just Palmerston North Marist.
It's just that golfing quality between the two leagues. The Wellington grades are very competitive at that top end.
And North Wellington were dominant in Cap Prem. They didn't scrape through like teams had previously. The Batoni-Karori scrap of last year wasn't there at all this year.
No.
It was North Wellington for 4 weeks.
Yeah,
and you could tell the whole season. So they were a very, very good Cap Prem team, but potentially not 6-0. It sounds like from people who were there, some of the mistakes being made by Palmerston North Marist of a goalkeeper leaving it across only for it to be headed in at the back post.
Yeah.
Things like amateur mistakes. I mean, I guess it is amateur football, but mistakes that shouldn't be made at that level were disappointing, and it makes this weekend's game less enticing, which is disappointing because I love a playoff. I love the Central League playoff, and not getting a proper close game is going to be disappointing. But,
yeah.
I mean, credit to North Wellington. You still have to beat the team on the day, and if you don't convert your chances, you're not going to go up to Central League. So.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be tough, even if Palmy North have an absolute blinder with that sort of lead. North Wellington could just shut up shop.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you do go a goal or two down, you can just park the bus and, you know, all you have to do is not concede too many more and it's done. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to do anything exciting with a lead like that. So,
yeah.
I do hope they can at least make a game out of the second leg. It'd be amazing if somehow it does become a proper tie with them in with a chance. But I think if it does start to go badly for North Wellington, they will just shut up shop.
And that's the luxury you have when you win your first leg 6-0. You can do that. And that's completely valid football.
Yep.
You've done all the work already. They just kill off a tie and that's fine. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I think at this stage you can say North Wellington are going up, and I think they'll be well-deserved. And I think they'll, based on what we've seen, they'll be competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'll mean an extra game of football in Wellington each weekend, basically, compared to two seasons back. We've got Karori and North Wellington joining up, so going up into Central League. So good for Wellington region, not so good for Central region, but as a Wellingtonian, I'm okay with that because I can see more football. Should we move to FFA now?
Yeah, sure.
Given there's only two of us, I'm kind of just blasting through this quickly.
I can only have one opinion. You can have one opinion, and that's how it is.
Yeah, and on that stuff is pretty clear. The FFA stuff is interesting. The latest is that that FIFA has taken on board the Congress Working Group's review document and is going to be implementing it.
Well, they don't get to implement it themselves.
They have recommended
to the FFA that they ratify it.
Yeah.
Essentially,
yeah.
So they've said this fulfills, and they said. In quite strong language that they feel it fulfills all of the things they had set out that they wanted to come out of the changed Congress, that this meets all of their requirements. And they said that in quite glowing language. So they're very, very happy with it. So it's rubber stamped, ready for the FFA to take on board.
And their statement today continued to persist with the ragging on it, for want of a better term, just saying that they think it has major problems and all the things that, of course, they would say because they're the ones who, for so long, have refused this kind of change. And I think, one of the things that got tweeted today, I think, by Ray Gatt was that the expansion will be basically put on hold if this goes through.
If this goes through.
Which sounds a bit shit in writing, but when you think about it, it kind of makes sense because the previous FFA was doing things in their best interest, not football's best interest, in that FFA's governance structure's best interest. And that was to dilute the current professional setup by adding two more teams in. And it had major ramifications as a result. And it makes total sense for things like that to be parked to the side while we go through a big period of change.
Well, and in many ways, you go back 18 months, expansion teams didn't make sense. They were busy kind of pleading poor that the league needed to sort out bigger problems than that. And all of the sudden, when things started to be going badly on the Congress reform stuff, suddenly we were implementing two new teams basically straight away. And it very much felt like a distraction tactic. So I think the fact that it hasn't worked as a distraction and the change they didn't want pushed through was coming through, it makes sense that weird distraction that was kind of thrown in the mix falls by the wayside to actually sort out the bigger problems in the game.
Yeah.
And that makes total sense to me. And it'll be frustrating for those expansion teams who've certainly spent a lot of time, but I would say some of them have spent a lot of money too, and have secured funding and all of the stuff to try and get, you know, ready to go should they be one of the ones who get through. It must be frustrating for them, but also the writing was kind of on the wall from the get-go that this was a very rushed process. So I think that's why we've seen some of those bids kind of falling by the wayside, and it's got messy and it'll only get messier.
There's no real, like, there's no one bid that you go, they need an A-League team as well, which I think helps them to say we're not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, there are bids that are better than others, but I agree. I don't think there's clear no-brainers in there.
Yeah.
I think you've got some really poor bids.
Yeah.
You've got some serviceable bids, and that's about the extent of it.
Mm.
And, you know, those serviceable bids could become A-League teams, and, you know, it could work, but I don't think there's an obvious answer there. I think taking a step back and sorting out some of the other stuff around the structure of the sport is much more important. And actually taking 12 months to do that, particularly when Lowy's already said if this comes through, he won't stand for re-election and all of that kind of stuff. You know, you're going to have a lot of change at the top there. So, getting all of that in place before we rush off with expansion teams just makes sense because, you know, as part of this, you know, the independent A-League is a thing, you know. What form that takes is still very much up in the air, but, you know, it's agreed that it becomes a thing. You know, it gets to be the master of its own destiny. So forcing a couple extra teams on it and then going, now be the master of your own destiny would be very bizarre.
Yeah.
So I think this makes a lot of sense. I think there's still going to be a lot of fighting before it actually comes through. I don't think Lowy's going to go easily. There's still some of those state member federations that are threatening to, you know, vote this down.
It's four of them, isn't it?
That's the rumor. I don't know what four, and I just don't have the detail on that because from, you know, a whole other country away, that detail kind of doesn't matter.
Well, you were in that country recently.
Well, I was. I was there for work, though, not for football.
True. Yeah, which is nice as well.
Yeah, it is.
yeah.
But no, so I think it's going to be a fascinating few months. I think the signals from FIFA are very strong that they will come in and sort this shit out if they have to, which is good. I think if they had kind of tiptoed around it anymore, it would be insane because even just doing this working group felt like a bit of tiptoeing because jumping straight to a normalization process is a thing they've done in other places.
Yeah.
I think here they saw the possibility that it could be resolved amicably, and it hasn't.
No, so, but they've tried. So it was Ghana and Uruguay?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think Ghana and Uruguay, they've actually come in with a normalization committee and gone the full hog, which shows that they aren't afraid to do it. So, yeah, it's hard for me to see a future of FFA with Stephen Lowy in charge. I think even if somehow the current structure makes it through, his leadership through this time has been poor enough that I can't imagine the FA board will be happy with it.
No, and the bizarre thing about it is his remaining complaints about what's been recommended here are not solved by any of his suggestions. You know, his complaint is that one voting block could hold things up. The current system, that's exactly what happens. The systems he's been proposing that can happen. The only shift in power is that the block that can now hold things up actually could sit with the professional environment, whereas previously it didn't. It sat with the member federations and it sat with the FFA-appointed people. The fact that now if something would be a bad decision for the professional environment, they could block it is the shift he's opposed to. It's not actually about trying to stop a voting power block because that already exists. It's existed for a long time and that's the only reason he's been able to do anything. His complaint is that the power is shifted.
It won't be his power block anymore.
All of the various parties will have to work together, that, you know, if you're shafting one party entirely, they could stop things. Well, that's kind of the point. Yeah. You need to come to solutions that work for all parts of the game.
Yeah.
This will force that to some extent. And it's not by any stretch putting the professional environment in, you know, the driver's seat. It's just getting them essentially a seat at the table, which they don't really have at the
moment. Don't have it all at the current setup.
In fact, no, they literally have a seat,
one seat
at the table.
Yeah. Which is nothing. You can't do anything with that. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I saw a tweet that in terms of number of people on the governance structure, if the Australian changes come through, the smallest one would then be New Zealand with 7 or 8, I think. But it seems different. It seems different to me because those are the federations voting and they have members within that, and that's everyone is represented in a way.
Well, I mean, the same is true in Australia. That there is voting at those state levels, and you know there are chains that work their way up. I think the difference here is we don't have that professional environment to kind of need a seat at the table.
Yeah.
If we did, I think you'd have an interesting. You'd have similar problems, I guess, because I think if you were to bring it in here, if suddenly we had a professional league, I think we probably would set it up similar to how the FFA had. You know, you'd go, oh, cool, you guys are a new fledgling league here. You could have one seat at the table, you know, one vote out of, you know, the same power as a single federation. And it would take a bit of time before we realised actually this is growing to a stage where it does need some say in the future of the game. They're bringing in the money. They're bringing in all sorts of things. And, you know, they deserve some say on that.
New Zealand Football a few years back did their governance review. Nothing has really come of that, has it?
I honestly don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't think there's been a huge amount of change.
Yeah, there was a request for feedback, and I gave feedback like other people did, and it was like 3 or 4 years ago now, I think.
Well, some changes were made. It's just because we don't have such a complex structure.
Yeah.
So I think similar to what FFA were required to do, you know, making sure there was representation for women's football and things, that's why there is now a women's rep on the board and, you know, things like that. So just because our structure's smaller and less complicated, we were able to get away with a smaller, less complicated fix.
And there's no big block making noise about how this doesn't work for them, because actually it's working fairly well for everyone in the country. No one's really being shafted by it. So,
wow. Everyone's been shafted equally.
Exactly. it makes a difference. Yeah, so it'll be interesting times. I think whatever happens, to be honest now, it's going to be relatively good for the Phoenix still. I mean, this has been a massive distraction away from the fact that we are still without a license and that kind of thing. And I think, obviously, if all changes go through, it'll be great. If they don't go through, we're still not the biggest problem in the game.
No.
And it makes sense to extend the license to be one less thing they have to worry about. Yeah. So,
I think either way at this point is good for us, as you say. You know, if all these changes are pushed through quickly, Lowy's out the door in October or November, whenever that election is, great. If they dig in for a long legal battle against FIFA, I mean, that'll be fascinating to watch from the outside.
It has been recently.
And the reality is the Phoenix will be the least of anyone's worries in that legal battle. So we, again, will be relatively okay until FIFA come out as the winners of that legal battle, because it's only going one way.
Exactly.
They can fight for a while, but the outcome will be the same.
Yes. So. No, it's good. Should we bring it back? We'll bring it back home now. And we recorded this earlier, but we're inserting it now, as I mentioned before, which Dave is annoyed that I've told you.
He's ruined the magic. Normally he doesn't ruin the magic. This happens every time we do an interview.
Yeah.
And Patrick's ruined it for you today.
I'm sorry, but we're now being joined by two Wellington United imports, I guess you'd say, Suzanne Gayson and Mariah Van Dam. I took lessons on how to say that, and I hope I've done okay. But thank you for joining us, the two of you. How's New Zealand so far? You've been here quite a while now, so how are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's quite nice. The winter is good for us. Normally it's a little bit colder in the Netherlands, and we see a lot of the country. So that's nice.
I guess, you get to avoid having you get kind of two summers in a way if you time the seasons right. So
Yeah.
And so what part of the year did you arrive? Was it just before the W League season started, or have you been here a bit longer than that?
I've been here for about 3 months now.
Cool.
So they already played a couple of games when I arrived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously the season's gone really well for Wellington United. Unbeaten run in the league so far, and through to a cup final and the National Cup semi-final now. So I guess it makes it worthwhile from the football perspective as well, coming over.
Yeah. Happy I came.
You've been here You came back for a second season?
That's Mariah.
Mariah, sorry.
Yeah, I came back for a second.
So you played there last year for Welling United and you came back again this year.
Yeah.
And why would you do that? Why would you fly again halfway around the world just to play football when you could do that back home?
I don't know. I like the country, the hills and the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's nice to play soccer, so that's the reason.
Yeah, and I guess it means you get to play year-round. I'm guessing that the seasons don't line up. It's kind of...
Yeah, when I came back last year, I start the new season in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And now when I came here, I finished the season for 1 month, so I had 1 month rest.
Yeah. So. Means you're playing football year-round, which I guess is good as a footballer, never stopping. So.
Yeah.
And same thing for you. You came straight off the back of a season at Pixvold.
I came straight away. I didn't have any break, so I kept on playing.
Yeah.
And I had some rest in between, so that was nice.
Do you get into the point now where you're kind of just looking forward to the off season and ready for the football to be done and have a break, or?
Oh no, I'm ready to start with my new club. So.
But yeah, you've just signed for
FC Twente.
FC Twente.
Yeah.
So is that in the same league as you were playing before, or is it?
Yeah, same level.
Cool.
Yeah.
How does that come about when you're halfway around the world? Is it harder to negotiate a contract and that kind of thing when you're so far away? Or
They came quite unexpected that they wanted me. So I already arranged that I would come to New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So when we had the contract discussions, I said, well, fine, I would like to join, but I'm going to go to New Zealand for a few months and then I'll come back after that. And they were fine with that, so... That was very nice.
Does it kind of help them that they know that you're playing football through the entire off season?
I think so, yeah, I think so. And I did some extra sessions for myself. So hopefully I'll be kind of fit when I get back.
kind of speaking to that, what's the difference in football? I mean, the ability level versus back home in the Netherlands and here? Is it a big step up back home, or is it more even than you might have thought?
I think there's quite a difference. We train 5 times a week, so that's the first difference.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference in level as well, which is normal because we have a lot more girls playing. And I think the difference in the W League itself, there are quite some teams which are pretty bad and some teams which are relatively good. So the differences between the teams are pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, you get quite large score lines.
Yeah.
And there's only a few games a season where it's really close. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Doesn't happen as much in a league that has full promotion relegation. And how many teams are in the Eredivisie?
I think we have nine teams.
Okay.
Yeah. So there are some teams as well, like you kind of know which teams are going to be in the top and which are in the bottom.
Yeah.
But the difference is that you won't see a scoreline of 12-0.
No. And it's commonplace for you guys, especially this year. Obviously, United's been really strong this year and have gone through, like I said, unbeaten.
Yes.
Does it take... Is it hard going in every weekend knowing that you've got a really strong team and you're playing really well and things might end up as a 12-0 scoreline? Is it hard to motivate yourself, or does the coaching staff, and one of them's in the room tonight, do they kind of help motivate you to give everything every weekend?
Yeah, but I think it's for yourself a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. If you want to score a lot, then, you have to put press on them the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good... Because we already know that we win the league, but we have more important games to play.
Yeah.
So it was a good practice game to practice some new things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've played a Kelly Cup game, and it'll be last night as we record the podcast, against Wairarapa, which are one of the better teams in W League. And I believe you won that 3-0?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a good head out before this weekend's game, which is the Cape Shepherd Cup semi-final against Dunedin Tech.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess you get to play 90 minutes under your belt against a good team ahead of playing what's probably going to be one of the most difficult games you're going to play this season. Does that help?
Yeah, I think so. I only played half.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I got some rest.
Rest the legs, yeah.
You got a goal, though.
Got a goal, yes. No, it definitely helps. I think the team did well in the game. I think Wairarapa had no chance of winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was good for us, also for our confidence for the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I think we're ready for Saturday.
Do you know much about Dunedin Technical at all?
Well, actually, I have a friend of mine who studies at Dunedin.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
So she's been training with the team.
Right.
So I had some inside info, but I don't know a lot about them.
Yeah.
We'll see. We watched some videos, which Gishe took really well.
Yeah.
So we watched some of those, and I think we just got to give it all and then see what happens.
But I think they're a pretty good side, aren't they? I think they've gone through their league season undefeated as well, and I think they're similar to you guys probably thinking it's a decent chance of making the final.
I think so, yeah. I think we're both kind of the same. And I think they've been winning their league for a couple of years now, so
Yeah, it'd be a really good head out. I think I'm going to try and come along on Saturday because I kind of don't know what's going to happen in a way. Like, it's great watching United play, but especially watching you guys play, it's like quite lopsided scoreline. Whereas this time, I think it's going to be a really high quality game of football, and I'm excited for that because we don't get to see that very often with some of the teams that are in the W League. So, from that perspective, it's really exciting. And I guess you must be excited about the chance to play against a team that is really going to test you in ways that you might not have been tested so far in the season.
Yeah, that's something to looking forward, and then we can show what we have and that we are a good team. So yeah, I think if we play what we how we normally play, we can probably we make a chance to get in the final.
And it's nice to host it in Wellington as well, in Newtown Park, rather than having to fly all the way down south.
Have you guys
travelled around the South Island at all? Have you seen the sights down there?
I've been travelled there last year, and Sis is going there this year.
Yeah, I went for 2 weeks this year.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And that's worked in with the football schedule and everything? You've been able to take time away to do that and come back?
Yeah, Wellington was kindly enough to give us some free time. So we've been up north, like all the way up for about a week. And then I did the South Island for 2 weeks. And then we had some sun in Fiji.
You went to Fiji as well?
Yeah.
Go there for the warmth. New Zealand can't provide warmth, but we can provide lovely views.
Yeah.
But then Fiji's not far away. So, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I guess how are you finding the idea of playing in essentially a National Cup final in a completely different country? Does that still hold some excitement for you guys? Or does it, because you're used to playing in a pretty top, division in the world, does it lose a bit of that kind of excitement, I guess?
I'm always excited for a game. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. So I just want to win.
Well, I guess more silverware would be nice. You guys already have the W League, obviously, and through to a Kelly Cup final. And if you could make it to the Kate Shepherd Cup final as well, it'd be quite the treble to be able to pull off if it goes that far.
There's Dave's one United bias coming through.
You got to hope.
Yes. No, it'd be very exciting. Who's the teams in the other semi-final? I forget. Who's in the semi-final?
Glenfield and Forest Hill.
Oh, Forest Hill. So two Auckland teams. So it's quite nice being able to host a game down here, right? And not have to fly to Auckland for every single game.
And if the Chatham Cup results go the way you might hope, you could have Western Suburbs against Nelson.
Yeah.
And a Wellington team in the Kate Shepherd. So you could, I think, feasibly see that all hosted in Wellington.
And if it's hosted in Wellington, it'd probably be at Newtown Park because it's got to be the
You'd hope.
Declan wouldn't be happy about it, but you'd hope. A double header would be great, though.
Yeah, but I think if you see an Auckland team in that Chatham Cup final, it'll be Auckland.
Everything in Auckland
for both finals.
Yeah, unfortunately. Have you guys been to Auckland? Have you seen the big city? What did you think of it?
We only drive to it. We not visit it.
Good. That is a good choice. you've done well. Someone's given you good advice there.
Okay.
Which city are you from back home? Sorry, I don't know. I don't know the Netherlands really very well, but
I'm from a small village. It's called Duiven, and it's near Arnhem. It's like near the German border.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, and
I've been from Zwolle.
I don't know where these places are. I'm sorry,
it's on the east side.
I asked the question. I was going to lead design, but I'm like, I have nothing to go on. Are they both smaller than Wellington or bigger than Wellington?
Oh yeah, smaller. Mine's definitely smaller. I think
Swallow is a little bit smaller. I think.
Yeah. So it hasn't been too much of a city shock coming here. I mean, you've been playing in Vol for a while now, I'm guessing. Yeah. So.
No, it's Wellington's kind of cute city.
Yeah,
it's not that big.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the way I describe it, it's small enough, it doesn't feel huge, and you feel like it's, but then it's not so large that you can't like walk across the city when you want to. So
you're just talking about Wellington now.
I'm talking about Wellington.
how did you find the kind of football system back home, I guess? Because I imagine coming up through there, there's a lot more layers to both the women's side of the game, but obviously the men's side as well. Whereas here, those academies and stuff do exist on the men's side, but I guess you must have had a taste for kind of how little support some of the girls playing here would have coming through a system like that.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference in the systems of playing. Also, we have a lot of amateur teams.
Yeah.
And over here, you don't really have that opportunity.
Yeah.
Also, for girls who would like to play on a lower level or something, there's not really a chance for them or to switch clubs. Or I think that's way more difficult over here than in our country.
Yeah.
And we have pretty much most of the Eredivisie teams have their youth teams as well. They have their own competition. Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you think that's a reflection of just the population size or the amount of money being invested in the women's game by the clubs or a bit of both, maybe?
A bit of both, I guess, yeah. I think population as well because you need, well, it has been growing in the Netherlands, the girls who are playing. But, yeah, you have to have enough girls to build a stronger competition and, of course, you need money to keep on providing and it.
Both of those are the struggle here, I think. It's changing for the better on both cases, but unfortunately the men's game is still seen as the, by some people who are in positions of power, seen as the, I don't know, more important side, which is really frustrating because there's some really good women's teams here and we're attracting great players to come here and play. So it'd be great to have more of an investment from a lot of people running the game on that side of the pitch, I guess. So the game is this weekend, Saturday, 2 p.m. at Newtown Park. Are the Elite playing a curtain raiser for that?
No, we're not. But it's, I think there'll be a lot of stuff going on down there. And it's a gold coin donation.
Mm-hmm.
There's food trucks and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, really? There, so we haven't had a game like this for about 10 years in Wellington. So it'll be really exciting. I'm going to be there. Dave will be there manning the bar, I'm guessing.
I'm hoping I'm not going to be working too much, but I will be there for sure.
Yeah. So
every chance I'll be roped into helping with something.
If Dave's working the bar, just make sure he doesn't get a chance to see any football, and that'll be great. But I'm looking forward to seeing the two of you play this weekend and hoping for a good result for Wellington. So thank you very much for both joining us. We'll see you on the weekend and hopefully a good result.
Hopefully, yeah. We go for it.
And that'll do for the pod this week. Fairly short, only two of us here. And actually, it's hard to talk about games you haven't seen. So I hope you still enjoyed the podcast. We did our best, didn't we, Dave?
We did. We always do.
I had to try hard to make sure this doesn't devolve into...
It's a sort of, you know, award-winning podcast. And,
oh, that's what we should about
finalists,
that.
Finalists, yeah.
We got nominated again, guys. Well, we nominated ourselves. We made the finalists.
We made the shortlist.
So for our audio broadcaster of the year at the Football Media Awards.
Two professionals, very good professionals.
We're up against Jason Pine and up against Ricardo Ball of TAB Trackside. Either of those should win ahead of us. I don't know who judged us, but if you're the judge and you chose us, you're probably wrong. So... Yeah.
I mean, if you let Piney win television broadcaster and us have audio, I'll take that.
Yeah.
But we still don't deserve it.
No. So, yeah, that's a thing. I didn't want to enter us this year. You made us enter. I was like, we should just go out as winners. We should just not enter. Just be like, we've done this. We've reached our peak. We're done, but we entered. So,
And we are finalists. The Yellow Fever are finalists for Website of the Year.
Website of the Year, yeah. We're up against In the Back of the Net.
Who are fantastic.
And Journey Fan as well.
To be there, so,
and Journey Fan pumps out great content.
Winner.
Yeah.
In fact, he's two-time winner, I think.
He's back-to-back champion.
Yep,
and so if you are voting in that block, also do not vote. If you gave it to Yellow Fever, you've done something wrong because the shit takes on our forums are ridiculous. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the award-nominated podcast that we host.
Award-winning,
award-nominated, all of the above. Thanks for listening. We're back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
How do I pronounce last names as well? Because I want to get this right.
Like in the Dutch way?
in a way he's going to be able to manage.
How could... Yeah. What should I introduce you as? How should I say it?
Well, in Dutch it's Giesen. But you can say Giesen.
Giesen. And you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And now we're joined by Suzanne Giesen and Mariah Van Damme.